This morning's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came from Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of the donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Bless the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Let your word, O God, break open our hearts this day through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may enter into the coming Holy Week with the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. So today, we are celebrating Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And some churches reenact this with a procession of their own, singing, waving palms in the air while moving into the church building. I've even been to some places that include live donkeys. And it's a great way to engage people with a little bit of levity. I mean, who doesn't like a good parade, right? With or without a donkey, you know? But this isn't just any parade. In reality, Jesus was coming into the city from the east. Pilate was also entering Jerusalem from the west. The air is just thick and with this religious and political tension. It's been building for years. And alongside those tensions, the city is also preparing for the Passover festival. So Pilate is coming in, actually, to make sure that everything stays under control. Now, why would the celebration of a religious holiday be contentious? Passover, which is still celebrated today, commemorates the freedom and exodus of Israelites from Egyptian slavery. Before the Jewish people fled Egypt, their firstborn children were passed over and spared from death. You can imagine that a city filled with oppressed and indignant people gathered for a festival commemorating their liberation from previous foreign oppressors. That might get pretty ugly. So just to be on the safe side, Pilate, he was the Roman governor of Judea. He was underneath the Roman emperor, Tiberius. Pilate brought a bunch of extra troops with him. And the troops were just stationed all over Jerusalem, every corner, at the temple, on the roofs, in the street corners. I mean, it sounds really intimidating to me. Pilate's entrance is filled with pageantry. War horses, armed troops, military might. And in contrast, Jesus enters the city humbly on a donkey, just the way that the prophet Zechariah said. The people we're expecting Jesus to fulfill that prophecy, Zechariah's prophecy, that the Messiah was going to confront rulers and ruling institutions. The Messiah was going to vanquish the people's enemies. The people have so many expectations for Jesus. And so they greet him like he's a king. They throw down branches and cloaks. They pull out all the stops. And they roll out the red carpet. And they shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest of heavens." We usually think of the word Hosanna as this celebratory expression of praise and adoration. And so we think that the crowd is praising Jesus here. And that is partially true. But the word Hosanna in Hebrew has a meaning that's much closer to save us. The crowd is crying out. Some with adoration, but many more from desperation. They're looking for someone to save them from the deadly oppression of Imperial Rome. I don't know about you, but I've certainly raised my hands in the air with cries of "save us" quite a bit this past week. We have just finished the 13th week of 2023, and there have been 17 school shootings. I honestly can't keep track anymore, so I had to look it up. 17 school shootings, with 8 deaths and 13 physical injuries. I don't know, maybe 8 deaths and 13 injuries of school children and their caretakers so far this year is just the price that we pay for living in a free society. But it's not just those physically injured that are affected. Everyone in those buildings, including an estimated 16,140 students, were directly affected by these incidents of violence. In Pittsburgh this week, and in many other cities across the country, there was an auto dial swatting event this week. Schools received calls that there was imminent danger of an active shooter in their building. The schools went on lockdown. Children and teachers prepared for the worst. They locked their doors, turned off the lights, tried to be as quiet as possible, put their backpacks on their chests, passed out books to cover their vital organs. They got their water bottles ready to throw at the violent intruder or intruders. They have drills for this. When I was in school, we had tornado drills, where we lined up in the halls in the fetal position with our heads covered. And my mom told me about having nuclear war drills in school, in that same position, hiding under desks, because that'll definitely save you from a nuclear attack. Those types of drills were traumatic enough for me. But like tornado drills, that's just nature trying to destroy us. Those of you here with kids or grandkids, I don't know how you ever let them out of your sight. So for the 17th time this year, the 376th time since April of 1999, I raised my hands in the air and cried, "Save us! Hosanna!" I want someone to come in and keep us and all of our children safe. To make it so we don't have to live in this constant state of fear. So parents can send their children to school without worrying that they might not come home. I can imagine the crowds in Jerusalem, all of their hopes and dreams encapsulated in Jesus. This is the Messiah. The one that we've been waiting for. The one who's going to trample the Roman oppressors and rule Israel. This is the one that God sent to keep us safe. This is the new David. But you know what? Jesus isn't a militaristic victor. Rather, he's a humble subversive. Jesus speaks of loving God and your neighbor. He sits with sinners in order to heal and love. Jesus recognized people's need for justice and affirmation for their existence. This Messiah is a servant, gentle, peaceful, merciful, generous, compassionate. He reflects God's kingdom. Make no mistake, the Jesus who enters Jerusalem was and always is a challenge to this world's spiritual and political powers. He didn't come to rule the individual souls alone. Jesus wasn't crucified and raised in order to leave the ways of the world as they are. His goal is to inspire us to make this world closer to God's kingdom, where peace and love and understanding reign. Ultimately, Jesus isn't going to save us from school shootings or gun violence in general. Or poverty, or inequality. Jesus came to save us from our sins and to give us a glimpse of the kingdom of God, of how the world can be. But in the end, it is up to us to make those things happen. So, let us wave our hands in the air. Yes, to plead with Jesus to save us, but also in understanding that we are accountable for our own complicity in sin and the ways that it affects this world. Wave your hands in the air to see the possibilities that Jesus shows us and to make peace and reconciliation an ongoing practice as we stand boldly with the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.